WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to Student Section MLB here on Wednesday, April 17th. I'm your host, Luke Torrey, joined by
Tyler Harrison
and Luke Anderson.
And we were off last week, but this week we're back and we got a lot to talk about. Let's start with the Yankees are the hottest team in baseball. Best record in the bigs, 13-6. They started off 12-4. They lost three straight. One to the Guardians, and then the first two to the Blue Jays, and they almost lost again today, but they had a very big comeback. They were up, they were down 4-1 in the ninth, and they put up a four spot, or 4-2. They were down 4-1 in the eighth. They put up one in the eighth, and then four in the ninth, and came back and won 6-4. Anthony Volpe is breaking out. He did a lot of work to fix his swing in the offseason. I got some notes here. Anthony Volpe. I mean, all spring the talk around Volpe centered on his flatter bat path and like through the zone. A new and improved swing has allowed Volpe better play coverage and has produced more hard hits to center and right. Volpe on the year is. Here we go. Right now, after he struggled in this series against the Blue Jays. I think he was like 1-for-12 or 1-for-13 in this series against the Blue Jays. But prior to that, I mean, he's still batting .324, two homers, eight RBIs, .881 OPS. But I mean, before that, he was batting like .415, .375, so like somewhere in that range. But I mean, he has looked phenomenal, and he's looked phenomenal in the field. I'm excited to keep watching him this season. Juan Soto is quite literally the best player I've ever seen in my life.
500 RBI,
and I'm not even kidding when I say that. Like, I've never like witnessed someone so disciplined at the plate. Like. I never really like watched Juan Soto as much as I am now. I mean, dude, he might be the best hitter I've ever like seen. I don't know, like no bias, like he just has a different like vibe about him at the plate. It's like I don't know.
Acuña but still has a better start to his.
He leads the how old is Acuña?
Do you know? Same age as Soto.
They're the same age?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or they may not be there's the same no age. Way. They debuted the same year.
Well, okay. Soto's 25.
Soto debuted when he was like 19.
Yeah,
so.
Soto's 25.
I mean, Acuña's like less than 30, obviously.
I think he's 26.
But
yeah, something like that.
Soto's batting .352, 17 ribbies. I mean.
Yeah, he hit 500, his 500th today, I saw.
Yeah,
a home
he's
run.
Got four homers on the year. He's just everything you could ask for. And finally, the Yankees are starting to look complete. Their lineup is very well balanced, although their offense kind of quieted down these past few games. It's really hard to complain about anything other than injuries. I mean, we lost Loaisiga for the year. Cole's going to be back eventually, and Mayhew's going to be back soon. Another guy I wanted to talk about who's off to a rocket hot start is Oswaldo Cabrera. He was filling in. I mean, this guy, he's been decent for us in the past. He's still young. He was horrible through all of spring. Basically, he was going to be sent down after spring training concluded, but the single reason that he was on the big league roster off the bat was because of DJ LeMahieu was hurt, and we needed just him to fill that spot. And man, he took off and ran with it.
He's proven his worth.
He said, "Play me every day." Is what he Oswaldo Cabrera on the year, batting .309, three homers, 13 ribbies, .895 OPS. I mean, like it's. Everything is going well right now for the Yankees, besides injuries. Our starters have been pretty decent for the most part. I think the Yankees are going to shock a lot of people this year. I mean, they jumped in the power rankings from eighth to one in like a week.
Or like, since when were why were they ever eight in the power rankings?
To start the year.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I thought that I was pretty fair.
While, if they're going based off last season, I mean, yeah. Let me get the teams over them. Were what? Dodgers, Braves, Orioles,
Phillies. They had the Phillies at four, I think.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. Okay.
But anyway. Yankees, like zero complaints, and we got a series with the Rays coming up, and then our schedule gets pretty easy. Athletics for four, although apparently they're good.
I wouldn't say that's easy.
Apparently they're good.
They're 500 team. They yeah. won today.
What happened? Like
apparently everyone in the AL West is good except the Astros.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Oh man, the Braves.
Because we haven't even had a show since the. Opening day, have we? Because I think our last show was the day before opening day, right?
We didn't have a show last week then, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
There's a lot of weird
stuff
going on.
We open up the year, Yankees in Houston. I'm like, okay, you know, maybe we come out of here, split series, I'll be happy. Sweep them on the road. And I'm like, okay, all right. Are we good or are the Astros bad? And then I mean the Yankees continue the Yankees. I mean the entirety of the Astros rotation is on the IR. And I mean the entirety. Like they're I'm pretty sure they have like one starter remaining.
Ronel Blanco got a carry there.
Yeah, him. He's the only one that's not hurt. I think everybody else is like let me see if I can pull up their injury report.
I'm looking at the standing while you do that. I'm looking at the standings, and it is crazy to see the teams that are doing good versus aren't. Like, the Angels are 8-9. Yeah, losing record. That's not a bad. Not bad to start the season. Who else? I'm looking on ESPN, and the top four teams based on record is the Guardians and Braves have the same record at 12-5. The Yankees are 13-6, and then the Orioles are 12-6, which. I expect three of those teams to be up there.
Yep.
The Guardians? Goodness.
Yeah, I mean.
And the Royals are 12-7. I should have, earlier in the year before the season started, I should have gone with what y'all said, with the Orioles winning the AL Central. I mean, not the Orioles, the Royals winning the AL Central.
It's a good division right now. Even the Tigers. I mean, the Tigers have been kind of lacking since they started, like, 7-2 or something.
I thought it was 7-0.
It might have been. Now they're 10-8, which is not great. Javier Baez looks terrible. I saw a video.
is god awful.
I saw a video on my TikTok feed earlier. That has to be the least competitive swing I've ever seen. Ever in my
that
life,
yeah.
I mean, I think
he swung at something. It was insane. It's actually unbelievable. But they're still winning games. I mean, he's. The highest paid player on that team, I'm pretty sure, and like he's negatively contributing to their team, but they're still finding ways to win. I mean, their starting rotation is pretty good. I mean, they lost Eduardo Rodriguez, which kind of hurt, and people were counting him out, which made sense. But people were super high on Tarik Skubal going into the season, which he's impressing everyone. And I mean, their lineup is. I mean, it kind of seems like a lot of nobodies, but they're finding ways to. Score runs and win games.
I don't know how Kerry Carpenter
weird.
Is doing.
They have a negative run differential, which isn't super surprising. But, I mean, they have a 500 record, so good thing for Detroit, I guess.
Yeah, I think the main topic of today that I want to talk about is the epidemic going on in the league with pitchers' injuries. It's not a coincidence that the best pitchers in the major leagues it's not even the best. It's all a bunch of pitchers in the major leagues are having arm injuries, and it is 100% has something to do with the pitch clock because it's messing with pitchers' original, ways they go about things, their original routines. I mean, let me see if I could pull up a list of pitchers that are injured.
Oh, I'll give you one. Spencer Strider.
Yes, I mean, we could hammer off the top ones off the top of the head. I mean, Strider. Here we got this. Lucas Giolito, Jonathan Loaisiga, Garrett Cole, Spencer Strider, Kodai Senga, Shane Bieber, Framber Valdez, Trevor Stephan, Daniel Bard, Herman Marquez, Luis Garcia, Kendall Graveman, Robert Stevenson, Clayton Kershaw, Edward Cabrera, and Yuri Perez. There are more. Ken Waldichuk, Trevor Gatta, Taiwan Walker, Glenn Otto, Austin Warren, Jackson Coar, I don't know, Shane McClanahan, Tyler Maley, Eric Swanson, Jordan Romano, Josiah Gray, Eduardo Rodriguez. I mean, the list goes on and on.
I heard like Paul Sewald. Aces.
There's a bunch of aces, a bunch of key guys in the bullpen. Something's got to change. I mean, you're losing. Garrett Cole is out for a couple months. Spencer Strider is out for the year. Shane Bieber, who had a down year last year, but goes and strikes out 12 in his first game.
He had a down year, and then bang, had one of the best like comeback. Yeah, like two first three game comebacks.
Yeah, and then gone, done for the year. I mean, everybody, Loizic is out for the year. The Yankees are without the Yankees have the best record in baseball without their ace and their best reliever. I mean, what?
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising. Even the Guardians are, like Tyler said, top five record in the league without Shane Bieber, who's their ace. I thought the Guardians were going to suck this year, and Shane Bieber was going to be like the number one coveted trade asset
Guardians
at
the
deadline.
Guardians have a really, really good bullpen.
I had Clase go in back to back like reliever of the year.
Clase is
very good this season. I don't know how he's doing right now.
Yankees just played the Guardians. He hadn't given up a run until that series when Anthony Volpe hit a. It was one of the most impressive swings I've ever seen. Turned around on a 101-mile-an-hour cutter, which was up and away. He hit in the right center gap. He hit it like 110 off the bat and tied the game in the top of the ninth. That's the only run he's given up.
Okay, so he's off to an amazing start.
Yeah, he's been pretty good. But, like, it's got to feel like, as a pitcher, you got to be, like, concerned for yourself that you're, like, am I going to be next? Am I gonna be the one to end up on the aisle next? It's like
I don't know what the key reason for it is, though. I've seen multiple different things.
It's a lot of the USL, UCL injuries is what's happening.
People trying to throw too hard.
Well, that's what I think it is. I really think because a lot of the guys that we've named are guys who are like upper 90s guys. Like these are some of the highest velo guys in the league. Mm-hmm. And not even just that, but guys who also rely on the fastball. Like they throw that pitch more than anyone else and they throw it harder than anyone else. I think that definitely contributes to part of it. I'm not going to say pitchers should tone down their velo or not throw as hard because then they're not going to be as productive, especially those guys. I mean, Strider relies on his 98-mile-per-hour fastball. Garrett Cole's fastball is his pitch. But, I mean, it definitely contributes to some of it because these guys pitch hard every day, and these guys go long outings. Most, a lot of the starters that you named are seven-inning guys who throw triple digits. In the sixth inning, they'll throw 98. So that definitely is part of it. I think the pitch clock has something to do with it, but I really think it is like these guys may be throwing too hard. But I don't know if there's a way to fix that, like I said, because if these guys aren't throwing hard, then they might not be as productive.
Exactly.
I mean, we saw Spencer Strider learning off-speed pitch in spring training, which worked very well. Unfortunately, we won't get to see much of it now. But I mean, it's hard to, like, tell pitchers, okay, learn more pitches and have a better pitch mix. But I think, like, for the next generation of pitchers, we'll start to see guys maybe relying more on some sort of off-speed or just having a better pitch mix so guys can throw different pitches and maybe they won't get injured as much. But, I mean, we won't see that for at least, like, 5 years with the next coming up of pitchers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen a couple interviews where prospect pitchers are talking about Justin Verlander, for example. I do not remember what interview or what talk show or what video I saw. There was a Marlins prospect talking about Justin Verlander was throwing 93, 94 when he came into the league, and as he came of age, he was pumping triple digits.
I mean, he ages like fine wine.
Okay, yeah. That's not a good example. Okay, but like people coming in being 25, 26, 27, trying to throw as hard as they can, trying to blow everything by him instead of maybe relying on, okay, if you're a ground ball pitcher, yeah, there may be one that scoots through here or there, and then the very next pitch you throw is going to be a double play. People don't really understand that.
I mean, there are guys like Jose Quintana, I think, averages 93 on his fastball, and he has, I think, his ERA on the season. He had a very good start yesterday or 2 days ago against Pittsburgh for the Mets, and his ERA is around or lower than 3 to start the season, and he relies on his sinker that sometimes is below 90. Like, in the fifth inning, it's below 90, and he's still effective, and you don't see him getting hurt. He's one of the older guys in the league anyway, and he's pitched full seasons for most of his career, so I think definitely we're going to see a lot of sinker ball or ground ball sort of pitchers coming up, maybe to avoid some sort of injuries. Maybe coaches will start to change, like, how they pick pitchers to, I guess, develop.
Right, and while we're on the topic of pitchers, tomorrow, Jack Leiter making his MLB debut.
Oh, yeah.
He was called up by the Rangers.
Who did they play?
The Rangers are playing
I think they're playing Detroit. We were talking about him before.
Oh, right.
I saw that.
I think you're right.
They're kind of on a cold streak. He could get a good start.
Yeah, so is Texas,
the Tigers,
though. But,
yeah, he's
but
debuting
also,
in Detroit.
I mean, like I said, the Tigers lineup is effective, but it is weird. I mean, Mark Canha has been playing okay. I know I keep tracking him because he played for the Mets and I liked him. But they have some guys who are interesting in their lineup and some guys who are just not very good, but it'll be interesting to see, definitely.
All
I want to watch
do
that
is
game.
Throw 3 sliders in the left-hand batter's box to Javi Baez, and Jack Leiter will get his first career strikeout.
I mean, that is all you have to do. That is
it's terrible to say, because he absolutely is a much better baseball player than me and always will be, but...
Ugh. And he was good at something. It's sad because he was good at one point. That's why he earned his contract.
Give me 2017 Baez back.
Looking at the AL Central right now.
I don't think that guy's coming back ever again.
I don't think
his
so.
His fall off needs to be studied. I'm not even kidding.
It is generated.
It's got
to
be on purpose.
That might be the biggest fall off in like sports history. It's got to be up there.
He got traded to the Mets. I was talking to my brother about it before. Because he got traded to the Mets, and he was good after he got traded to the Mets. And then that's when he signed his contract with Detroit, and he was never good for a second in a Tigers uniform. I don't understand.
Is an exception. He plays good defense.
He does still play good
offense,
defense.
He's like Atlanta Braves Bartolo Colon. Like, it is so horrible.
But he's also like not as good defensively as he was in 2016 either. I mean, he's good, but I mean, he's not getting paid. I mean, you can't be paying a guy that much money. You can't justify, even if he's the best defender, even if he's Ozzie Smith, you can't justify that contract just on defense if he's going to bat below the Mendoza line for quite some time.
They need a designated fielder.
I know. And because I keep looking at the AL Central, the White Sox have 2 wins.
It's the White Sox.
I mean, 2-15. This is worse than the Oakland season last year. I don't even think Oakland started 2-15. Did they? Like, this is crazy work. They are very bad.
The Rockies and White Sox will just always be bad, I guess.
Yeah,
And then the poor Astros are down there with the Rockies.
Dude, the Astros are terrible. I am
so
loving
right
every
now.
Second of the Astros' downfall.
I don't see Astros fans getting a second half resurgence after the All-Star game.
I feel like, but it's the Astros. This happens every year.
I will not count them out.
They start off slow, and then they end up in the ALCS.
They'll be good, and then they'll pick up at the trade deadline because they'll be in a position to do so.
But
and
an ALCS
will finish
the Astros.
You know who has been horrible, though?
Everyone.
Josh Hader.
He has been so bad.
So bad.
Oh my goodness, he has been terrible.
He's such a prick.
I wanted the Yankees to give him a bag, and I would have loved
for the Mets to sign him, and he stinks. He is bad.
We just develop no-name people. Reynaldo Lopez.
And then give them 8-year, $80 million extensions.
Such a good story.
He had an okay season, and now he's pitched 18 full innings and has a .5 ERA after developing from a relief pitcher to a starting pitcher.
You know who shocked me this year? Ranger Suarez.
Dude, isn't he leading the entire league in ERA
right
now?
I'm pretty sure he has like a .18 ERA.
It's Cutter Crawford.
Couldn't tell you who that is.
Reynaldo Lopez. And then...
He's up there. He's got like a sub .5 right now. He is unbelievable right now.
See if I can,
and it's crazy because the Phillies are, I mean, they are good. I mean, they're 10 wins right now.
ERA
but Zach Wheeler and Ranger Suarez both, I mean.
No, he's actually not top 5.
Really?
Not?
No. What are we talking about?
There we go.
Ranger Suarez.
He's got a 1.73 ERA.
Yeah.
3 wins, 1.73 ERA.
Let me look up Zach Wheeler because they got some good pitching over there.
Yeah. 26 innings pitched. He's 3-0.
I mean, Zach Wheeler has a 3 ERA and is 0-3.
27 Ks to 4 walks.
Holy. Good night.
where did this come from, Ranger? Because every time I looked at you in the past when you were pitching in a game, I would be like, oh, well, Phillies are dropping this one. And
is
now
that, is that why the NL East is kind of, oh, my Lord, we only have a 2.5 game.
The Mets are
lead.
Back, baby. I was going to talk about that after the break. 10-8. But, yeah, I mean, Ranger Suarez, huh. Dude, he must think it's the playoffs or something because he's a beast in the playoffs.
I don't want to talk about it.
But, I mean, good start for him. I mean, Phillies are – I mean, this is, like, I guess what was expected out of them. They're around 500, slightly above it. But yeah.
Average Phillies. Can't wait for us to drop 115 games and lose in 3 games to the Phillies. Yippee.
I mean,
they're beating up on Colorado right now.
Oh, no. Didn't see that one coming. Not Colorado. Are they playing in Colorado?
No, they're in Philly.
Okay. If they were in Colorado, they'd be beating up on them. Worse.
Yeah, I guess. The Angels are beating Tampa right now.
Because bunts would go over the left field wall.
The Angels are so interesting right now. They've been beating good teams, too. They're about 500, and they've been playing good teams, including Tampa. They beat Tampa the other day.
I want Trout to win the MVP.
I would be so upset. I picked four people to win, I picked four people to win MVP. I was like, no way out of these four, like, no way anybody else wins it because nobody's on the Angels. Trout could go off for 50 homers, but they're not going to make the playoffs. And if Soto is batting 330 with 38 bombs and the Yankees win the AL, I think he'll get the MVP over Trout.
Yeah.
But, I picked Judge, Soto, Julio Rodriguez and Adley Rutschman to win MVP.
How is J-Rod even doing?
He hasn't hit his first home run yet.
Yeah.
Really?
Acuña didn't hit his first.
Acuña didn't. Yeah, I was watching the Yankee game today, and they put up a graphic because Glaber hasn't hit his first yet, and it was like notable players who haven't hit their first home run yet. It was Acuña. It was Julio Rodriguez. It was Glaber. It was Bregman. They had Nick Castellanos on there, but I'm pretty sure he had a walk-off homer last week.
No, it was a single, I think. I saw that.
Oh,
it was
really?
He hit a walk-off, but it was just a single.
Okay, then he hasn't hit one yet. And did I say Bregman? Bregman was the other one. None of them. Well, Acuña had his first today.
Oh, there you go.
But other than that, those guys all without homers, I mean,
I'm okay
slow
with
starts for all
I'm
of
okay
them.
With Acuña not hitting 60 home runs. I mean, he's third in the league with saves. He's one of the best, the best leadoff bat in the MLB. Debate a wall.
No, I mean, that's a fair take, I think. But
and
Anthony Volpe's
bias.
Coming for him. Just remember that.
I want to see good things for Volpe.
Volpe versus Acuña talks is absurd.
It's
is the
ridiculous.
Craziest thing I've ever heard.
It's ridiculous.
I'm trying to be unbiased, and you threw that out there. Shut it. That was terrible.
I'm not comparing Volpe to Acuña, but Volpe has been great this year. I hope he continues.
Volpe's
it.
A better defender. I'll give him.
Yeah,
Volpe's probably better
Acuña
at shortstop.
Did you see the play Volpe made to win the game today? I'll show you guys at the break. By the way, we got to go to break here. all right, we'll be right back in just a few here on Student Section MLB, or 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And welcome back to Student Section MLB. We are going to pick off right where we left off. We're going to talk about the Baltimore Orioles. And
the fall off of Jackson Holliday.
Yeah, we'll get to Jackson Holliday, but I do want to say, out of the 12 wins that the Baltimore Orioles have, 8 of them are comeback wins.
12-6. They're a clutch team.
They are a clutch team. They lead the league in comebacks. Second are the Yankees and the Pirates, tied at 6.
Where are the Braves at? Because I thought we had like 5.
They just win games outright. They don't come back. They just win them.
Probably third. I don't have a list.
Yeah, that's true.
They were talking about it on the Yankees broadcast earlier, so they were mentioning that the Yankees were second. So, let's talk about MLB's best prospect, Jackson Holliday.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Struggling to start his career.
I don't want to call him overhyped just yet.
You can't.
They
yet.
Should
so you
send
can't
him
yet.
Down.
You definitely Literally. Can't yet. Give him a week or two more, then we can start
I
talking.
I think they should send him back down for a couple
I'm
weeks.
A month
I,
older
I'll
than
be honest.
Him. I'm not going to judge him.
I don't see the thing with sending him back down is just like That's got to be so demoralizing. And baseball is a very big mental game.
Yeah.
You're the best prospect in the MLB. You get called up. It's a big deal, and then you're just struggling off the bat. Yeah, it's tough. He's going to overcome it. I mean, you can't send him back down. That is going to mess with his head a lot. If you send, like, after all this that has happened, like, it was the buildup, and then, oh, yep, baseball's best prospect. We're putting it on national television for his debut. And now we're just sending you back down.
But like, how long, if he struggles, how much longer would he struggle?
2 weeks minimum, maximum a month. If we get a month from now and he's batting under 100, yeah, you're going back down.
I mean, I feel like it could be justified because he spent so little time in AAA.
Right.
And I mean, if he's struggling, he can just go back there because, I mean, he went through the minors like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he can go back there for a little bit. I mean, it would be demoralizing, sure, but I feel like what could be more demoralizing is if you play a month of baseball and can't bat 100.
Right.
So I feel like maybe if he can go into AAA and start raking, then he'll come back and he'll have a better attitude about it. I mean, that's the mindset that, like, managers have when they send guys down.
True.
But I mean, yeah, all the talk about his first MLB game, and it was MLB TV's free game of the day, and just, I mean, MLB's hyping every game he's played in, and he has one hit in two full series now, which is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of strike. He's striking out a lot, too. It's not like a lot of his outs are strikeouts, which is also bad.
I was just about to ask, what his, like, is he just getting unlucky with, like, line outs or ground outs?
No, he's striking out, like, twice a game, I think.
Is it discipline-wise? Is it just he's not getting good contact?
I mean, I haven't really seen a lot of his at-bats, but I know he is striking out quite a lot. I can look.
One other thing while you're looking for that, I did want to talk about before while we were still on the topic of the Yankees. The Yankees are statistically the most unlucky team in baseball. They have the best record, yet they are the most unlucky team when it comes to, like, X batting average, like projected batting average versus, like, the batting average. I think they go into depth with, like, say you barrel up a ball at like 105, like right at a guy, the X batting average of that ball that you just hit was probably like 360 or something, and obviously it's zero if he caught it. So they just like collectively do that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's something like that. But Yankees are the most unlucky team in baseball, and Austin Wells is the number one unluckiest player in baseball. He's batting under 100, and he is every time he goes up to plate, he hits the ball harder than 100 miles. Like, I've never seen it. It's like we are damn near 20 games in, and I'm like when are they going to start drop? I feel horrible for the guy.
At least have confidence if he's getting contact.
Yeah, no, he's putting the bat on the ball, but like it. The results are just not there, and I just feel so bad.
Yeah,
like you're a young catcher with the insane potential. You go up there doing everything right, you, like perfect mechanics. You're hitting lasers every at bat, and nothing to show for it. That is,
I like Austin Wells too. He's fun.
Yeah,
he's down as pitchers haven't found his weakness yet. It's just the baseball field is his weakness right
now. Yeah, I mean, they gotta start falling eventually. But anyway, back to Jackson Holliday and the Orioles. Did you?
Yeah, some numbers I got. He has 22 at bats in six games. He struck out 12 times.
Ooh.
So striking out over 50% of the time is never good.
Yeah, no.
For anyone. Mm-hmm. But even if you could justify it by a raking, he has one. So he has one hit, and he's striking out 50% of the time.
Does he have any walks?
He has one walk. And he has an RBI.
One walk, one
hit. He has an RBI fielder. I think it was a fielder's choice.
Yeah.
And he has one hit, one walk, 12 strikeouts. So not good to start. I mean,
not a great start.
I wanted to see how exactly he did today.
He went 0-3.
But yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, you could already.
I didn't even try to make that a joke because I have a lot of people, including my grandfather, who is an Orioles fan.
Yeah, and he struck out twice.
Man, good night.
So I mean, if he can't
batting ninth in the lineup too,
if he can't get those strikeout numbers fixed, I mean, I feel like something's. I think sending him down is. I mean, not right now, but I think if he, like 2 weeks, like you said, Luke, and if he's still striking out half the time and doesn't even have like five hits, then you have to send him down, I think.
Right.
I mean, Yeah, I mean, he's only played 30 games at AAA, so it wouldn't be such a disgrace to have him play a few more down there. So, I mean, it's not like the Orioles particularly need production out of him. I mean, they're one of the best teams in baseball, even if he's in the lineup and he's a black hole in the lineup and that nine spot. I mean, they have really good pitching. Corbin Burnes has been playing unreal. And the rest of the lineup is absolutely insane. I saw a crazy play earlier today as well on TikTok. I swear I keep seeing MLB highlights on there. Seti made some crazy diving catch in center field, like going all the way back to his right. It was some crazy, crazy catch.
Yeah.
They got really good defense over there, like pretty much every position, and the whole lineup is just so good over there. So
yeah.
I think, unfortunately, if they send Jackson Holliday down, I think it would be better for it because, like I said, he's only 20.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not performing, even at the nine hole, that's still going to be detrimental in a lot of aspects. And the people that you don't have starting, like the middle infield, the infield right now looks like, is it Jordan Westberg, Jackson Holliday, Gunnar Henderson, Ryan Mountcastle? Because if so, the people that they have on the bench that could fill in for Jackson Holliday until he develops better, you have Jorge Mateo and Ramon Urias.
Yeah, and those guys are really good.
I mean,
too.
Yeah, you're not going to get MVP seasons out of them, but those are very productive guys who you know can produce for you.
100%, yeah.
And if Jackson Holliday is, because I want good things for him, I've had no reason to.
I played with him. when his dad was on the Yankees, he was on my 12U baseball team. And
wow.
I will.
When were you going to tell us this?
I mean, I thought I'd mentioned it, but I guess not.
Oh, yeah. Did you forget to mention that you also happened to have.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's kind of crazy. Like, two of the last three first overall picks were my former teammates. It was kind of insane. But he hit the farthest ball I've ever seen in person, and we were 12. I'm not kidding. It was ridiculous. I was like in awe. We were playing it at a local community college, so the fences were. This was our first year on 60-90, on MLB fields, and we're playing at a local community college, and he's our three hitter. This was a tournament, so I'm back in the dugout. Fences were like. I don't remember exactly. Somewhere in the ballpark or like 330 down the line. And there were like these pretty big like pine trees behind the fences. And he cleared the trees at age 12. And I was just like sitting there in the dugout like, oh my, like what am I like looking at right now? It was just like, I was actually speechless. And to this day, that's the farthest ball I think I've ever seen like in person.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt he's got talent, and he does have the potential. It's not like it's not like 1 week of playing poorly in your first week in the majors, it means that you're done.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it is unfortunate, but he definitely has the potential. Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't realize this. Tyler just showed me. The White Sox actually got their third win today, earlier. Right. It was the second of a doubleheader. They did win.
Against the Royals, right?
Yeah.
Danny Bellinger ripped
it. Speaking of the Royals, are we going to talk about how the Royals have the best run differential in the major leagues at plus 40?
They are very good.
At huh?
Plus 40.
Oh. Whoa.
And speaking of run differential, tell me how the Tampa Bay Rays and the Toronto Blue Jays both have winning records with minus 17 run differential.
Whoa.
They win small, lose big.
Yeah, what is going on? I mean, yeah, the two best run differentials in the league are Kansas City and Cleveland, both in the Central Division at plus 40 and
run
plus 38.
Run differential is wacky sometimes. Well, I saw, I mean, unrelated, I guess. But, I mean, I'm big on hockey, so yeah. NHL playoffs are coming up. The Capitals just clinched a playoff berth yesterday with the worst goal differential to make the playoffs in 30 years. Minus 37 goal differential, and they're in the playoffs. In the playoffs. Go
wow.
Islanders, by the way.
You lose big, win small.
Islanders playoffs start this Saturday, along with the Knicks. Go Knicks.
Yeah, go Knicks.
Couple sports shout-outs from me. But.
Yeah. I'm an Abs fan, though, when it comes to hockey.
No, they're in the playoffs, too.
Because my brother, he worked.
Oh, yeah, I think he told me that once.
Even
I
with
forgot
run
who they
differential.
Play,
even with run differential. Yeah, the Royals lead the league. The Braves have the most runs scored, so
I don't care.
Really. Yeah, 108.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
run differential
already.
Is
I'm not
gonna super.
Lie.
Never mind, the Padres have more at 109.
Oh.
That hurts the soul.
Yankees only only scored 90.
So dad gave it.
Yeah, the Padres are nice.
Baltimore
dude.
Has 104.
Orioles are nice too. I was so wrong about the Padres.
That AL East matchup, and I know you hate everybody in the MLB that isn't wearing pinstripes, and we'll push that aside for right now, because I'm a nicer Braves fan.
Yeah.
Looking at the AL East, I could see that being a game 163.
Yeah. Oh no, I could too. I 100% I could too. I think.
And yeah. Oh, we're only two of them games in,
because I think we're gonna beat each other up. So I think we're gonna finish around 95 wins each, probably.
Yeah. I mean, this is
it's really hard to have 100 wins in this league nowadays, and it's especially hard to have two teams in one division that has 100 wins.
Like last year, or the NL
in the AL East,
yeah, or the NL East 2 years ago.
Yeah, where the Mets and Braves were both 101 and 61.
Yeah,
I mean, it's so weird that their whole division, the worst record is the Red Sox at 9-9.
That is
crazy. I mean, we all predicted this going in too. We were like, okay, the Red Sox are going to be the worst team, and they're still going to be right at 500, because that's how good that division is, and that division is always good.
Teams from that division make the playoffs, or do you think the Blue Jays kind of hit an even bigger?
I don't think the Blue Jays or Rays make the playoffs. To be honest, I think they can, but I don't think they do.
That's the team I was forgetting. Yeah, I think the Rays fall off second half.
I mean, Tampa.
I shouldn't say that out loud, because they may win the division after I said that. But
it's true. I don't know. There's some weird competitions like in divisions right now. A couple of weird like placements. I mean, yeah, we talked about the AL Central. Like the Guardians and the Royals have basically the same record at the top of their division. Both very interesting teams. Like very good pitching staffs, like we talked about.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the Royals have had like a great start pitching wise. I mean, they have Seth Lugo over there. I always like talking about old Mets guys, but Seth Lugo has pitched pretty well to start the season for them. They have Asa Lacy, who's their star rookie pitcher, who's playing very well. And I forget, they have a couple of really good guys there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They're all young, too. I mean, we talk about the Orioles and how young and good they are. And the Royals, I mean, their team is, most of their guys are
Bobby
like
Witt.
Under 30 years
Sleeper
old.
Sleeper MVP, Bobby Witt.
With the way he started the season, easily he could win MVP.
How's he doing?
Great.
Oh, amazing.
Like, great.
I got to follow.
Hard to start better.
Is he on that 40-70 track or not that much?
No, I don't think 40-70 is ever getting broken, honestly. That's a really hard, like, 70 bags.
He's batting .321 right now.
70 bags stolen?
Let me look how many steals he has.
Do you remember last season?
Damn, Salvador Perez, is he back?
Salvi is so bad.
He's leading the team
in
everything.
Oh, my goodness. I forgot to say this.
He's batting .324
oh my gosh,
with
he is
five
so
homers
bad.
And 17 RBIs.
I thought he got injured a couple days.
Yeah,
he did against the Mets. I was going to say that. We keep talking about how good the Royals are. Shout out to the Mets for beating them in a series. But, yeah, Salvador Perez was also lighting us up, too. I mean, I looked and I kept seeing notifications that were like, Salvador Perez, a hit, an RBI. And I was like, wait, is he back? And I saw he has over .300 average. I don't know what the state of his injury was, but oh, my goodness, he is playing unbelievable.
It looked like it was a slide. It looked like the cleat caught him in like
yeah, it wasn't a dirty play. It was just a play at the plate. Yeah.
Wait, you know what I do want to talk about? We do have to go to break here, but when we get back, we're going to talk about Salvi and the Royals, and I want to talk about the opening series of the year with the Mets and the Brewers. I want to talk about that beef with Rhys Hoskins, that if that slide was dirty or not. I want to hear your thoughts on that. So we'll be back in just a few here on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And welcome back to Student Section MLB here for this final few minutes here. And we are going to talk about the Mets for a little bit and their start on the year. Also want to talk Jim Bowden, MLB insider, said he considers the Mets contenders still. What do you agree? non-biased. What are we thinking on the Mets start to the year?
Listen, I mean, four in a row right now, just saying, five out of their last six. They've won the past two series against some very good teams. They beat the Royals in a series. Well, actually, they've won their past three series in, going back to the Braves series, too. So three very good teams. They beat the Braves in a series, the Royals in a series, and they just swept the Pirates. They're just playing very good baseball right now. I mean, their bullpen is unbelievable right now. It's a lot of ragtag guys. It's interesting. I mean, Jorge Lopez is pitching quite well, which is surprising. I mean, Ottavino's had a good start. Edwin Diaz has had a really good start, which is nice to see.
How's Sevy doing?
He just pitched six shutout innings today. He brought his ERA to, I think, something lower than three or right at three. His first start was rough, don't get me wrong, but today he pitched very well in their win today. They beat up on the Pirates. Yeah, he's now at a 2-1-4. 21 strikeouts.
I hope he stays healthy. He was one of my favorite Yankees, man. It was really hard to see him go.
Yeah, I mean, they got...
He's a really likable guy.
Sevy's doing well. Sean Manaea, his last start was pretty poor, I think, but he's been doing pretty well to start the season, mm-hmm. which is good. Those are both guys that they offered deals, kind of B-list free agents, I guess. And their lineup, which started off terrible, and they're like 0-for-4 skid to start the season, has picked it up really well. Marte hit another homer today. Harrison Bader got his first home run today. I mean, Pete Alonso. I mean, one thing, though, is Francisco Lindor is so bad right now. He is so bad. I mean, I love him to death, and he's still good defensively and whatnot. But we were just talking about Javi Baez before. I mean, Lindor is having the same start to his season, but also this is new for Lindor. It's not new for Baez. He's been doing it for 3 years. But I got to hope Lindor gets back to form. But otherwise, I mean, Kodai Senga has been starting bullpen. JD Martinez is expected to finally join the team, I think, next week. Or I think the next time they come back to Queens, because they're going on the road now. So, I mean, once they get JD Martinez in the lineup every day and they get Kodai Senga back, I think they can actually be contenders. I mean, there are a lot of good teams right now in the National League. In the West, like the Padres and the Diamondbacks are quite good. So it's going to be a really good wild card race in both leagues this year. So it's going to be hard to contend. But I mean, and it is still early, but I do think the Mets have a decent chance. It'll be interesting to see, but I do really like how they've picked up in the end of the first. We're coming up on almost a month of baseball already. So definitely like what I'm seeing out of them.
Yeah, and I mean, what are they? They're 10-8 now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they'll be fine. They'll make the playoffs. Yeah. I'm not worried about the Mets. For these last few minutes, we're just gonna talk a little recap on around the league.
I wanted to say one thing. Talking about recap on the league, Shota Imanaga has allowed one earned run.
He's been in shut down
in MLB. And I just think it's crazy. All the talk about Yamamoto in the offseason just let Imanaga slip under the radar. I mean, Imanaga was very good in Japan, I think, as well. And people just kind of swept that under the rug when the Cubs signed him because of how good Yamamoto was and the race to sign Yamamoto. But, I mean, the Cubs made out quite well there. I mean, Yamamoto isn't pitching particularly bad, but he's nowhere near what he was expected. And Imanaga has been unreal. I mean, absolutely insane work by him. And the Cubs are just doing really well. They just beat the Diamondbacks in a series, I think. I mean, they're playing really good baseball over there, too. So shout out to the Cubs.
Cubs have been good. Nationals just won a series against the Dodgers. Braves sweep the Astros in Houston. Thank you, guys.
Marcelo Ozuna from the Braves.
Yeah, Ozuna has been incredible.
Unbelievable.
Seriously.
Leads the league in RBIs and home runs.
And homers.
When's the last time two MVPs back-to-back have come from the same team? That hasn't been the same player. I wonder. Like two teammates winning the MVP back-to-back? Because right now it would be Ozuna if the season... I mean, it's only been a month.
You guys want to hear a funny stat? Which is pretty predictable, honestly.
Sure.
Mike Trout shares the lead league in homers with 8. 6 of them are solo homers.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
6 of them.
That's so funny.
It's like the most Angels thing ever.
But I mean, not bad. They're good right now.
They're
winning
nine.
Right now? Question mark.
They're 8-9. They're up 3-2 on the Rays. Okay. I would like them to win that game, because obviously, I don't like the Rays. The Rangers are a team that
they're interesting right now.
They are interesting. A lot of guys on the IR for them.
The last time somebody to go back-to-back MVP awards on the same team that weren't the same person was 2011 Justin Verlander, 2012 Miguel Cabrera on the Tigers.
Oh, okay.
So it's been over 10 years.
Yeah.
I could definitely see it being this year with how things are playing out
right
now.
The MLB has not posted anything about Marcell Ozuna at all.
I wonder why.
But still... He's from the Braves.
It's true.
Yeah, like, what if, like let's just use, like, someone who's, like Domingo Herman. Like, someone who's, he's thrown a perfect game. He was honored for that, but that was kind of before one of the incidents that he had.
Well, speaking of controversial, Trevor Bauer just posted something. Did you guys see that, Trevor Bauer?
Let's use Trevor Bauer as an example for this hypothetical question.
Who's now also been proven, once again, fully innocent.
Right. He deserves a shot. We'll get to that on another day. But Trevor Bauer, let's say hypothetically he signs with a random team and goes out and has an unbelievable year, Cy Young, like definitely without a doubt he should win the Cy Young. Do they give it to him? Because if the MLB is not – like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, but if the MLB hasn't said a thing about Ozuna, we're 20 games into the year. He's having an incredible hot start, and they haven't posted a home run video.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
We'll see what happens when it gets towards the end of the season. I mean, last year the MVP race was so uncompetitive because it was just Acuna.
If
Ozuna runs away with it like Acuna did, I mean, there's no way they don't.
He would have to hit 45, 50 home runs. And
minimum.
Get 115.
50.
He would have to have a Matt Olson season with a higher average.
But I think if you
somebody else on the Dodgers would have to not.
But that's
Mookie
what I was going to say.
Dude, he's ridiculous.
I was going to say, like, if you compare if Ozuna had the season he's having right now last year with Mookie Betts, you could argue they would give it to Mookie Betts because they don't like Ozuna. I mean, Acuna's season last year was just so good. And Ozuna's season this year is looking to be so good as well. Mm. But, I mean, Mookie Betts is Mookie Betts, and he's very likable. So it's going to be hard to tell.
What do you mean?
But, I mean, we'll see.
All right, well, that's going to do it here for us on 90.7 The Capstown. We will be back next week with...
For the last show?
Yeah, it will be the last show of the semester. We'll make some predictions. Well, we can change our predictions because we're going to be gone for a while.
And we'll be back after the All-Star
And we
break.
Will be back after the All-Star
Make
break.
Some All-Star roster predictions.
Until then,
okay.
we'll have some fun stuff in store for next week. But till then, it's been Luke Torrey,
Tyler Harrison,
and Luke Anderson.
And we will see you next week.